Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, we know we've just recently launched into a new 8-part series on a portrait of God. Remember, I see portraits of God throughout the scripture. This portrait I'm calling our first shepherd. He is our first shepherd. It's actually a study of the book of 1 Timothy. We're talking about how to pasture God's flock, whether you're a pastor or a dad or a mom or a leader or a coach or a teacher. You've got a little flock there and you're responsible. And there are ways to shepherd them in a way that's encouraging. Ways that really build them up, and doing it in a way like our first shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, how He shepherds us. So that's why I'm calling this, He is our first shepherd, as we look at how He shepherded, how Paul writes this to young Timothy, a young pastor, to explain how to shepherd like the first shepherd. And hence, we have our 8-part series. We're in number 3 today, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Timothy, as I just mentioned, and we will be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, all right? So you can make your way there, and as you are making your way there, just a reminder that these 27-minute radio broadcasts are on my website. They're archived there at markpg.org. Other things archived there are articles I've written for local publications, musings on God in real life. I've also provided some 3-minute videos on portraits of God that you can click on that box of videos. You can click on printable guides, all kinds of one-page printable guides, outlines, info guides on all kinds of topics that you can find there. All of those tools have one thing in mind, help you hear God. So that's markpg.org. Well, as is our custom, because we do want to hear God, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity You've given me all of these years just to come together each week with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet and do the best I can to just unpack the truths that You've been sharing with me, and I'm still learning. All of these years, as we continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to abide in Him to bear much fruit. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege, especially as we're taking this journey and seeing how You are our first shepherd. And having that in mind, it helps us feel grateful also for the under-shepherds, the human shepherds we have in our local churches as well. Some of us may be those local shepherds, but it's good to know that You are the first shepherd, and we get our cues from You. So thank You for this journey we're taking over these next several weeks in this 8-part series of how You are our first shepherd. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, just a little 60 or 90-second review of where we've been. The first 2 of these 8 we've covered in the last couple of weeks as we began our journey in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the theme there, the 8 themes that we're looking at as we go throughout the book, the first one was being positive. What does being a shepherd, like the Good Shepherd, models for us and teaches us and how He works through us? What does that look like? Well, number 1 was being positive. In those first 11 verses, we saw examples of how we're to encourage like family. We're to instruct them gently, and we're to love them purely. It was wonderful, being positive. Then last week, we went to chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, and we saw that the theme there was providing cover. Our first shepherd is always providing cover for us and wants us to do likewise as He works through us. And three of the ways that that passage tells us we can achieve that, cultivate that, is to serve together joyfully with those under our charge. Don't stay in the ivory tower. Grant them mercies. Oh, by his mercy, grace, patience, and humility. That is how he deals with us constantly. We looked at that thoroughly. Wow. And to protect them faithfully, because it is a warfare out there, spiritual warfare. The enemy's after us and prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, deceive, and bind up. But the Lord is there to protect us faithfully, and he wants us to do likewise as under shepherds, whether we're pastors of churches, dads, moms, leaders, coaches, teachers, or whatever. Well, now we come to chapter 2, and we're actually going to be going through verses 1 through 15. And at the end of this, we're going to come to a controversial passage, and I'm delighted to be able to cover this, dealing with women. And I believe it's going to surprise you and inspire you about how the Lord intended us to understand what he has to say about the women's role in ministry. So here's the overarching theme that I see as I was walking through these 15 verses with the Lord. We've seen the theme of being positive. That's what our first shepherd does and wants us to do. Then we saw the theme of providing cover. Today, we're going to be talking about the theme of lifting up. Lifting up. You know, when I was starting out my ministry over 40 years ago, I was a student's pastor at a large church and working with middle schoolers, high schoolers. And of course, those are the years where there's a lot of cut down humor, you know, putting people down and calling them names, that type of stuff. And boy, we would nip that in the bud. We would not allow our students to use that kind of humor. Nobody likes to be put down, even supposedly, oh, I'm just teasing type of thing. The old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is a lie. Words hurt us deeply, and we would share that. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, the scripture says. And it's like a restless evil. It says it can strike out like a tornado. I call it tornado tongue. You can just say something real quickly and just devastate somebody with something you say that is so demeaning or critical or insulting or hurtful to them. So the whole point is we are not to put down in any way. We are to lift up in every way that we can. Our first shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is wanting to always lift us up, lift us up, lift us up. And he, in this portion of scripture, through Paul, is giving us three examples of lifting up that I think will be a game changer wherever you serve as some kind of shepherd. Letting the Lord, the first shepherd, work through you to lift up, lift up, lift up. So let's look at the first one. Number one, if you're a note taker, is to lift up men. Lift up men. Let's pick it up in verses 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Let me stop there a moment. Lifting them up to the Lord in prayer. Lifting them up to the Lord in prayer. Entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgiving. Lifting up thanksgiving for all of those in our life. What kind of men is it talking about? Well, in this context, for kings, verse 2, 1 Timothy 2:2, for kings, and all who are in authority, and that would include pastors and bosses and government officials and so on, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have all kinds of examples here of what it means to lift up men. And don't worry, women, we're going to get to you today. It's just a little bit later in the passage. But lifting up men, those in authority, and lifting up, well, and we do lift up women, of course, and children, and people of all nationality. Prayer, we lift people up to the Lord all the time with entreaties. But in this particular passage, it's talking about the importance of lifting up the authorities, the kings, that is, your governing or political figures, you know, and all who are in authority, your spiritual leaders, your employment leaders, your community leaders, and on and on and on. Do you pray for them? Do you lift them up? And even when speaking about them, even if you disagree on some of the things that they believe, something that they express, something that they say, and the ways that they act, it is so easy, and we're seeing it now so, so much in our culture, to put down, insult, criticize, demean those on the other side of the political spectrum. My friends, that is not of the Lord. We may have honest disagreements. Read the platforms of each party to see which is more biblically aligned, and make the discussion not so much the people and their personality, but the philosophy and the belief system and the intentions of each political party. We're coming up to a voting season. There's everybody knows about that, but how it has turned political our political voting process or elections and all for the last couple of decades have gotten increasingly more vile, more arrogant, more accusative, more bombastic, and it's a shame. Way, way back, politics used to be a little more, having statesmen and being able to have dialogue rather than diatribes. Sure, they had the diatribes back in those days. Sure, there was dirty politics going on those all the way back. Even classic movies like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart back in the, I think it was the 1940s that was made. Dirty politics was in that movie too, depicted. It's always been there, my friends. It's certainly gotten amplified in the media age in which we live, in the online and social network cultures that we now have access to, and to the news feeds that we get, algorithms that will feed us all the red meat we want against the other guys, and it keeps doing it more and more, and it creates the illusion that we're universally right in our view. But on the other side, the algorithms are doing the same thing, feeding them the red meat against the other guys, and they think they're completely and almost dominant in their belief system, and it's just has gotten so, so ugly. Here, the Bible says, look, lift up these men and women in positions of leadership, pray for them, entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgiving should be made on behalf of all of them, those in their authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now that phrase there in verse 2, used to be I would think about it, you know, the more we pray, the more it'll change, because God's hand will be at work to change the hearts of men, and we'll have a more tranquil and quiet culture if we're just faithful to pray. Well, I see it differently now, because we have certainly seen that that is not happening. We are getting progressively worse, aren't we? So you can either conclude, A, then we're not praying enough, or we're not praying right, or B, God's not listening, he doesn't care anymore, and he's written us off, or C, it's about our own hearts becoming tranquil and quiet in all godliness and dignity in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the downturn in our culture, the controversy in our culture, the ugliness in our culture. We do not, listen now, we do not have to be overwhelmingly negative, negatively affected or impacted by all this chaos that's going on. We are not citizens of this world primarily. We are primarily citizens of heaven. We are part of an invisible kingdom. We are following the ultimate king. But while we are in this temporal place called earth, in our respective countries with our respective leaders that are all fallible, they all have sinful tendencies, they all make egregious mistakes, we all have very different opinions, it does get ugly in the debate, crazy things do happen, that does not have to dominate our hearts and souls and life experience, my friend. We can lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity in the midst of the chaos, especially if we cultivate the heart and the discipline to lift up all of these people and pray for them anyway with humility, as they are more bombarded than you probably realize. Those of us that are in leadership positions, it's hard for others to understand how there's a target on our back and a target on our chest, and we're always being shot at. Doesn't matter what you decide or do, somebody's going to attack you. And if you change your view, all you do is change the set of people who are going to go after you. So leadership is not for the faint-hearted. It's not being in, you know, the top position, now I got power. No, it's a servant position, and you cannot please everybody all the time. And it is hard. It takes a certain wiring to do that. And that's why they need our prayers. But if you do that, you will internally be creating and cultivating a heart that is tranquil and quiet in the midst of the storm, just like when Jesus slept on the boat when a storm was raging all about. Wow. Well, we're not only to lift up man, we're to lift up Christ. Let's read on in verse 5 through 8. Watch for that theme here. We've talked about how lifting up is our overarching theme of what it is to be a shepherd in the spirit of the first shepherd, Jesus Christ. So we lift up men, we lift up Christ. Verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. And for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, that means one sent out. I am telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So here, he moves from lifting up men to let's lift up Christ. There is only one God, one mediator, one Jesus, one ransom that's been made for us. He's the one who died on the cross to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sin. That is tremendous gospel truth right there. There is one, and this is what we preach. This is what we teach. This is what we're sent out for, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the primacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift him up, way up, because he is to be the focal point of our journey in this world. My friend, the scriptures aren't the focal point. In fact, Jesus even said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have life. No, they're to point to me. Come up to me. It is a tool. It is a mechanism. It is a cell phone that connects you to me, not just on the other side of the world. Like when I was in Paris and saw the Eiffel Tower light up, man, I just took out my cell phone, took a picture, sent it to my wife, called her and said, isn't this beautiful, honey? And it dawned on me, wow, this is Star Trek. I mean, you take a little candy bar sized thing out of your pocket and you call all the way around the world. Wow. Well, I rejoice in that tool, but I rejoice more in who I was talking to on the other end of that tool called a cell phone, just like I rejoice more with the one I talked to on the other side of a tool called the scriptures, because I hear the voice of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We lift up Christ. He is the focal point of the gospel message. In fact, if you go on my website and go back and listen to broadcast number 104 on the deeper dive in Christ, it goes into great and simple, though, but great and mysterious detail about how to go to that deeper dive in Christ to see more and more of his glory, more and more of his love for us, more and more of how we are one with him. So, as a shepherd who are channels of the first shepherd, Jesus Christ, we are to lift up men. We're to lift up Christ. And number three, and this is so exciting to me, we're to lift up women. Now, the passage from 9 through 15 may not look at first glance like it's lifting up women. In fact, some will get very irate with this thing and it's putting down women. But actually it isn't when you look more closely. So let me walk you through it. Verse 9, the theme, we're lifting up. We lift up men, lift up Christ. Now we're going to lift up women. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness. Let me stop there for a moment. Is that a harsh, puritanical ruling or law that women can't wear gold, they can't wear pearls, they can't have braided hair, they can't dress flamboyantly and that type of thing, and they want us to, put on these dark robes, or they want us to put on these turtleneck sweaters all the time and loose-fitting clothing and da-da-da-da, all that other stuff. Okay. We know we can go all over the place. Those of you who are raising daughters, I don't have to tell you about the wars. We had three sons, so we didn't have to worry about it too much. But now we've got, out of our seven grandkids, we have five granddaughters, and so they're going through that. Of course, they're little now, but in later years, this is going to be the battle about how to dress properly, modestly, discreetly, and all. Now, is that putting them down, putting them under your thumb? You can only wear this, you can only wear that, I'm not going to allow you this, and turn into a listen, you're trying to lift them up. Here's the thing. If they dress provocatively with low necklines and high skirts and form-fitting and all those types of things that make them sexually attractive, which our culture says is a good thing. Oh, you got to dress sexy and all. Listen, you are setting them up to be viewed as commodities by young men and in this culture, young women who get aroused, hormones raging, and they become objects of sexual attraction, which is not good for them. It's not good for anybody. Their personhood is being lost. We want to raise them up. We want to lift them up to be seen as a person, somebody with heart, somebody with personality, somebody with character. We want the emphasis to be on them as a person, not on their bodies as sexual objects of attraction. That's the heart of this. We're lifting up women by encouraging them to dress modestly and discreetly and not overly flamboyant. The braided hair and the gold and pearls, it's in costly garments. It's not so much a literal thing. It's a general thing, but too much bling and too much, stuff calling attention to your physical form is something that puts women down, not puts them up or lifts them up. And it goes on similarly in verse 11, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Now, at first blush, it looks like, all right, women have to be quiet in the church. They have to be submissive. They have to be quiet to their husbands. They just listen. They can't have any power or ministry in the church. After all, they were deceived. And by the way, Adam is in worse form. I mean, he heard it from his wife, and he didn't have the backbone to protect her. So he's as culpable as she was, by the way, just as a side. And then being preserved through bearing of children, they're to be lauded as those who go through the hard work of bearing children and have that motherly connection. This is designed to keep them out of the hot seat. Being in authority, having final authority, puts them in a hot seat. And as I was describing earlier, it's no picnic there. There is all kinds of emotional attack and this and that and the other. And I believe that what Paul had in mind here and what the Lord has in mind here is saying, look, I created women to be primarily nurturers, raising children and keepers at home. Can they work outside the home? Absolutely. The Proverbs 31 woman was buying lots. She was real estate agent and stuff too. But keeping them out of the primary hot seat, giving them the cover of being in the right-hand position or subordinate positions is not putting them down, it's protecting them from being in that hot seat that 24/7 is a constant weight. We're lifting women up and protecting them from those positions that have that kind of pressure in the church. In fact, I tell all kinds of our, young men in the ministry, I said, you know, first thing you got to decide is if God's calling you to be a Moses or an Aaron. There was a fighter pilot, a friend of mine, who was the squadron leader. He had a right wingman whose job is to stay right with him. Excellent flyer, but he wanted to lead. So he let him lead one day, and the guy did a great job. I mean, fabulous. So on the way down, when they got down to the tarmac, my buddy, the squadron leader, said, hey, you did a great job. I'm going to give you a promotion. But he had come out of the cockpit white as a sheet, sweating bullets, saying, I never, ever want to do that again. Why? You did great. No, you're a great flight. I couldn't stand the pressure of knowing that any decision I make could cost my buddies their lives. I'm not wired that way. So even among men, there are those wired to be in the subordinate positions. It had nothing to do with quality of flying, but wiring. And so we lift up women by protecting them, by being objects of sexual desire and objects of leadership that you can just pummel and all this stuff. This is a way that the Lord says, let's lift up women and protect them. And that is a beautiful thing. The first shepherd lifts up, and so should we. Well, Lord, we do thank you for this time together. Wow, we go deep in you. We trust you. Thank you for these insights. In Jesus, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Hope to check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus. Oh, our first shepherd.